الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، to complete the reminder of yesterday with regard to dhikr and the importance of tawajjuh when we do dhikr, I remind myself and you, yesterday we mentioned the importance of focusing on our own heart and seeing what is happening inside the heart. And that is the key issue of dhikr, because dhikr has to do with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I mentioned yesterday, to do dhikr without the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes no sense. The purpose of dhikr is mentioning is to remember Allah. And if we are doing dhikr and then we don't remember Allah, then it makes no sense. So therefore, it's important to concentrate and make tawajjuh on what we are saying. What is the effect of what we are saying on our hearts? To continue from where we left yesterday, bring it to a conclusion, it is not my intention here to go into the details about the individual focus and individual tawajjuh on every form of dhikr or on every kalima of dhikr. Obviously that cannot be done in something like a fajr reminder. But just as quick reminders for us. For example, if you say Alhamdulillah, then it's important to think about all that we have to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. When we say Alhamdulillah, wait for some time, think about all the things that we have to thank Allah for. And then say Alhamdulillah a second time. And that's why I keep saying, don't get focused on how many times you're saying it. Say it once, but say it with that feeling, say it with that understanding, say it with that tawajjuh, say it with that istizhar of the sifat of Allah or the ism of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say Allahu Akbar, then focus on the heart to see whether anyone or anything, any thought, any anxiety, any fear, any desire is greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart. That is the purpose of Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar is to remove everything else from the heart. Is to clear the heart of all other things. If we are saying Allahu Akbar and we still have anxieties, if we are saying Allahu Akbar and we still have desires, if we are saying Allahu Akbar and we still have people in our circle who we consider to be capable of benefiting us or harming us, then the maqsad of Allahu Akbar has not been achieved. So therefore, the purpose of Allahu Akbar is not simply to say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. No, the purpose of Allahu Akbar is to completely remove everything else from the heart and fill the heart with the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why that one Allahu Akbar frees us from the slavery of everything else. Somebody who says Allahu Akbar with the istihzar, with the feeling, with the consciousness of Allahu Akbar, can never fear anything in creation. That person cannot have any fikr after that. That person cannot have any anxiety after that about anything. No anxiety about risk, no anxiety about food, no anxiety about business, no anxiety about anything, absolutely anything. If that Allahu Akbar is not freeing you from the anxiety, then you do not have the right to say Allahu Akbar a second time. Seriously. Say this to yourself. I'm not denying your right. I mean, you can say Allahu Akbar a million times. But if it is not benefiting you, then that's just words. See, think about it like this. You know, if you we live in a material world, and therefore we have to give material examples. If you take a medicine, whatever the medicine is, when do you say the medicine is beneficial? If it does something, right? If you take a medicine for cold, or if you take a medicine for cough, and you are still coughing, then that medicine is a waste of time. No? I mean, what's the point of that medicine? So what will you do? You go back to the doctor, you say, this medicine is not working. And the doctor will do two things. One, the doctor will change the medicine. And two, the doctor will ask you, what are you eating? What food are you eating? What do you do in the morning? So you might say, well, you know, I love eating ice cream. I have this cough, but I eat ice cream every day. I drink cold lassi every day. I eat a lot of curds and so on. So what will the doctor say? The doctor will say, the medicine will not work as long as you are eating all this. So, no cold things, no ice creams, no lassi and so on, until your cough goes. And then you say, I like to walk around without my shirt or something, Allah Allah. So the doctor will say, no, keep your chest warm, especially in the morning, early morning and so on, when there is a nip in the air, keep your chest warm, don't expose yourself, and then take this medicine, maybe the same medicine, but the medicine with what we call in Urdu, parhez, or Arabic. Now, same thing, apply this to the illnesses and sicknesses of the heart. This is for your cough. Then people also, they keep coughing, then they keep smoking also. It's called a smoker's cough. So, point is that apply it to the sicknesses of the heart. Same thing applies. We are saying Allahu Akbar, but there is no parhez. There is this total involvement in the dunya. There is no remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the day. There is running behind this and that. So how will this Allahu Akbar, how will it work? Because you are taking the medicine, but you are not doing the parhez. You are not doing the things that will make the medicine work. So we also have to look at, when you are doing dhikr, the rest of your life. And that is why prescribe askar of the heart, and they would specifically also prescribe things like this. They would say, how much do you sleep? What do you eat? Where do you go? What is your whole day like? And then from that they would pick and they would say, do this, don't do this. Today we don't have those muslihin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity to find a good Muslim who can do our islah. But until then, at least we can do something for ourselves, which is to look at our own lives and say, what is it in my life which is preventing me from connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to connect with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us how to connect with us. But if still the connection is not made, then there is something in our life which is preventing this from happening. It is like the oxidation on the copper wire, unless you clean that and you splice the two wires together, current won't flow because the oxidation on the wire is insulation, so it prevents the current from flowing. So before you splice the two wires, you take off all that green stuff which is oxidized, copper off, which is on the wire, clean the wire before you splice the two wires together. And that is the issue of our own issue of tazkiyah. And that's why tazkiyah is important. So when we do the zikr of Allahu Akbar, then focus on the heart and say, what is happening in my heart? And if you find that nothing is happening in my heart is still filled with all sorts of stuff, then focus on that and say, how do I clean that stuff first? Similarly, when we say La ilaha illallah, the zikr of La ilaha illallah is one of the most powerful askar. But again, how is it to be done? The zikr of La ilaha illallah is, we say La ilaha and we remove everything from the heart and throw it away, and you say illallah and you introduce the azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart. Unfortunately, people have converted this into some kind of physical exercise. That was not the problem. This is the problem of learning something without the tarbiyah of that thing. So you get stuck only in the method, and the method becomes the maqsad. Method is not the maqsad, the maqsad is something else. The method is a way to get to the maqsad. So the method of la ilaha illallah and doing some physical movement with regard to, you know, with your head and so on and so forth, where you make this sign of by your body of removing something from the heart and throwing it away and introducing the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart, that movement has no value. I mean, you do it or don't do it. The movement is not the maqsad. The movement is done to remind you this is what you are doing in this dhikr. The key thing is to actually see whether that is happening. When I say la ilaha, what are you saying? You are saying la nafi wa la dhar. You are saying there is no one who is worthy of worship. There is no one who can benefit. There is no one who can harm. There is no one who can fulfill my needs. Illallah, except Allah. Illallah, except Allah. So now when I say la ilaha, what do I do with my shop? What do I do with my business? What do I do with my education and my profession? Throw it all out. Throw it all out. This does not mean you shut your shop. No. Remove the shop from your heart. You're not talking about shutting down the business. No, of course, you must do the business. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, it's halal business. It's inshallah, if you do it in a halal way, this is ibadah for you. This business will get you money in your pocket and it will get you Jannah also, inshallah. But the place for that business is not inside your heart. That is the key. The key thing is that, as I always say, no matter how expensive your shoe is, you don't put it on your head. The topi is always less expensive than the shoe, for everybody. So you don't say, my shoe is worth 10,000 rupees, I'm going to wear the shoe on my head. Come into salah with the shoe on your head. No, I'm wearing a 10,000 rupee. You're mad, you're crazy. What nonsense, idiotic behavior is this? That is the issue. The heart is not the place for your shop. It is not the place for your family. It's not the place for your and my money. It's not the place for your and my power and authority. And you know, the heart is the place for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alone, alone, alone. Khalas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like adulteration. Allah does not like something to be mixed. Why is shirk such a big issue? Because of this. Because of this. Shirk is a big issue because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like any shariq. There is no shariq. So anyone committing shirk is lying. Is lying because there is no shariq. Actually there is no shariq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wahdahu la sharika lahu. So when we say la ilaha illallah, remove everything from the heart. Illallah. Except Allah. When we make the zikr of sending salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we make durood, for example, as I have mentioned before, the best form of durood is what we know as durood Ibrahim, which we do in salat. Why is it the best form? Because this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself taught the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim. So one can praise Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and send salat and salam on him in many ways, but obviously the best way is the way which he himself taught. So when we do this dhikr, what is the tawajjuh of the durood? The tawajjuh of the durood is the person of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I cannot imagine that somebody can recite the durood even once and after that he breaks even one sunnah. The power of that durood is that it must bring you on the sunnah. If you are saying the durood and then you are also breaking the sunnah, then that durood has absolutely no value for it. Seriously. Think about this. People make a big song and dance. The other day we had a big fitna in a masjid nearby. What was the fitna about? Whether we should stand and say salat as salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not. Big police came, this, that. 90% of those people who are fighting for standing and saying salat as salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do not have beards. What salat and salam are you sending on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You should be ashamed. You should be ashamed that you are talking about sending salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you deliberately shave your face. What salat and salam you want to send on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The power of the durood is to bring you on the sunnah. It has this power in it. Yeah? If you are not coming on the sunnah, it is not the fault of the durood. It is your fault. Sending salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means what? What is the tawajjuh of this? Tawajjuh is the person of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is to think of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is to remember Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu that He sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a messenger. And that He put you and me in His ummah. That He gave us the tawfiq to accept Him as our Nabi and as our Imam. And that He gave us this beautiful method which is His sunnah. And that is through Him Islam came into our lives. And that is the reason why we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we do not worship anything else. Sending durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the Nabi is a ni'mah on you. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent you a ni'mah. And what is that ni'mah? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just saying all this and crying doesn't help. If you think that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a ni'mah, then you follow his sunnah. If you cannot follow his sunnah, if you break his sunnah, if you go against his sunnah, if you indulge in bid'at, then you are a liar and a cheat before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you are saying the Nabi is a ni'mah and you are rejecting this ni'mah. You are saying the Nabi is a ni'mah and you sing this great nasheed and you sing this great naat and everybody cries and then you junk this ni'mah. You trash this ni'mah. So this is a great ni'mah but I don't want it. Great ni'mah, I don't want it. If I ask you, whose face is the most beautiful in all creation? You say, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ruhi fida Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aray, tumhari dhadi fida ho gai uske po. Ruh kaan se fida hui? Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Toba karo. Khali ruhi fida bolne se nahi hota. Dhadi mundana nahi jata. Ruhi fida. Kya ruhi fida? Kiski ruhi fida? Seriously, seriously, we should stop lying to ourselves. We should stop cheating before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The haq of the durood of on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that we follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we make durood, when we do the wird or the dhikr of durood, with each time we make the durood, we say the salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reflect. Which of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my life am I leaving? Make niyyah, make tawbah. Make niyyah, I will start following that sunnah from right now. Then you see the power of that durood. You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open doors for you where you didn't even imagine there was a door. The durood is the dhikr which brings the rahmah and salam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you. Choti cheez hai, mamooli cheez hai. Uska haq ada karna zaruri hai. It is the right of the durood of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we follow his sunnah. Make the niyyah, make tawbah for breaking the sunnah, leaving the sunnah. Make the niyyah to say, inshallah al-mustaan, I will follow every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the people don't like, they are jahileen. If you have a beard and somebody criticizes you, he's a jahil. Why are you bothered about his opinion? Who cares? Why are you bothered about the opinion of every jahil in the world? They are jahil. Any Muslim, and I have never seen a non-Muslim complain, believe me, wallahi. I have never seen a non-Muslim complain about the beard on a Muslim. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. The only people who complain about the beard on a Muslim's face are Muslims. And that is why we are like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in a situation where we are the despised of the earth. Why? Because we leave the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So don't worry about them. They are jahileen. Anyone who objects is a jahil. Don't even respond. Don't even reply. It's not worth your energy and your time. You just do what you know is right. And follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of this is part of the zikr of durood. People just think zikr means just saying, no. Every single word of that zikr. What is zikr? Zikr is to remember Allah. Zikr is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is better than that? There is nothing better than that. And therefore, it is very important for us to have this tawajjuh in our zikr. As I said, I am not doing a detailed analysis of all the adhkar. Whatever we have mentioned, let us focus on that. And let us try to ensure that we do this zikr, fulfilling the right of that zikr. Fulfill the haqq of that zikr, whichever it is. And then see the beauty of that zikr in our lives. See how that zikr will completely transform our lives and make our lives free from stress, free from any fikr, free from any kind of anxiety, and connect us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures come into this life. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our lives with His dhikr, with His noor, and to help us to focus on that which is pleasing to Him and beneficial to us, and to save us from everything which is not beneficial to us, no matter who else it pleases and doesn't please. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ